Everything is inspired by the teachings of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Om Aginati Marandasya Garangana Salakya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tajmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dharati Swaparantikam. Today our topic is learn to celebrate yourself. So often we look at others and say, wow, they are so amazing and I'm so ordinary. Or we look at our cousin and she's so beautiful and I'm so plain. We come home from the office, we tell our spouse, my coworker is so smart and I'm just average. That's true, they may be amazing in certain areas, but you also have to realize there's something amazing about you as well. You're talented, you're attractive, you've been fearfully and wonderfully made. Krishna doesn't want us just to go around celebrating others, cheering them on, although that's good, but He also wants you to be celebrated as well. You didn't get left out when God was handing out the gifts, the talents, or the looks. He put things in you that are going to cause you to shine as well. You can be a great devotee. You can be a great entrepreneur, a great teacher, a great parent, a great writer, a great musician. Don't get so focused on what somebody else has that you don't realize what you have. During World War II, the famous actress Greta Garbo was known for her beautiful legs. Her studio had them insured with Lloyd's of London for $1 million, which was unheard of back then, a pair of legs worth $1 million. So do you want to see another pair of $1 million legs? Well, just look down. Yeah. If someone offered you $1 million to buy your legs, would you sell them? I don't think so. A few years ago, a man lost his arm in an accident. The court awarded him $11 million for that arm. Look at your arm, worth $11 million in this day and age. In another city, a young lady injured her back while riding a city bus and lost her ability to work. The city awarded her $20 million. Just think about it. We're up to $32 million, and we haven't even eliminated all of our body parts yet. I can tell we're all starting to feel a little better about ourselves, aren't we? Sometimes we're just always celebrating others, but God is saying to you tonight, it's time maybe to celebrate yourself more. There's something special about you. In a book, author Stephen James says, the reality is that we live in a fast-paced world. Anybody disagree with that? Nope. We are taught that accomplishment means getting as much done every day as you possibly can. But too many of us don't take the time to reflect on our accomplishments. When was the last time you stopped and took a moment to celebrate and reward yourself for the things that you've done? If you struggle with this notion, you're not alone. Oftentimes, self-promotion has been associated with arrogance. In another book called Surefire Strategies for Success, Thomas Leonard shared this distinction between confidence and arrogance. He said, confidence is knowing exactly what you do well and what you don't do well. Arrogance is, what do you think? It's a way to cover up what you don't do well. When you celebrate your successes, it's going to motivate you to achieve more, which in turn will elevate your consciousness further. Celebrating ourselves reminds us to enjoy the journey. If we're constantly doing and never being, we're going to miss out on all the beautiful moments in life. Sometimes we take life too seriously and become too attached to the final outcome and forget to enjoy how it is that we got there. It's great to be ambitious, to have dreams and goals. However, the key is to develop a mindset that allows you to pursue big things in life without sacrificing the small things that make life worth living. Be mindful of the miracles in the world that Krishna created. In the 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna dedicates an entire chapter, 50-60 verses, called the Opulences of the Absolute, so that we can remember Him in the rising and the setting of the sun, in the ocean waves, in the mountain peaks, in the taste of water, the sound in ether. We can be reminded of God in all the little things of life. The poet said, when you run so fast to get somewhere, you miss half the fun of getting there. And more classically, Francis Thompson says, the angels keep their ancient places, turn but a stone and start a wing. Tis your estranged faces that miss the many splendored things. In other words, all the little miracles that surround us every single day, if we're alert to them. Also, celebrating ourselves reminds us to be grateful. Now, gratitude is the key to living a healthy, happy, fulfilled life. It's one of the greatest gifts that we can give to ourselves. Celebrating yourself means to be genuinely grateful for your life. Unfortunately, it's easy in this day and age to lose touch with gratitude. A lot of people are only focused on celebrating the highs of life. They tend to lose sight of the small things that bring them the most joy. Celebrating your life every day is a way to develop an attitude of gratitude that can shift your entire perspective. Research by Robert Emmons, professor of psychology at the University of California, shows that those who celebrate life by practicing gratitude tend to be more creative, bounce back more quickly from adversity, have a stronger immune system, and have stronger social relationships than those who don't. I have to live with myself, and so I want to be fit for myself to know. I want to be able, as days go by, always to look myself straight in the eye. I don't want to stand with the setting sun and hate myself for the things I've done. I don't want to keep on a closet shelf a lot of secrets about myself and fool myself as I come and go into thinking that nobody else will know. The kind of person I really am, I don't want to dress myself up in sham. I want to go out with my head erect. I want to deserve all men's respect. And here in the struggle for fame and wealth, I want to be able to like myself. I don't want to think as I come and go that I'm bluster and bluff and empty show. I never can hide myself from me. I see what others can never see. I know what others may never know. I can never fool myself. And so, whatever happens, I want to be self-respecting and conscience-free. Here Prabhupada says, our guru, all that matters is how much a soul has elevated his consciousness, and the topmost elevation of consciousness is called Krishna conscious. A Krishna or God conscious person is by definition mindful of the enveloping nature of Krishna or God's love and grateful for the many practices which lead to Krishna consciousness. Chanting, for instance, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Eating consecrated vegetarian food, which we're going to go downstairs and do in a few minutes' time. Visiting beautiful, beautiful temples for Sangha, association with like-minded people. All a devotee asks is the opportunity to serve the Lord according to his capacities. He's not arrogant about his abilities, but recognizes that whatever abilities and talents he or she have, they come directly from God. So beginning now, let's stop putting ourselves down. Let's reach out and take hold of some important news about ourselves. Listen carefully, no matter who you are, no matter what your background, no matter what your life experiences, there is lots about you worth loving for no other reason than that you're a child of the Almighty God, a unique, unrepeatable miracle of God's creative power. There's no one in the world exactly like you. It's good to be who you are. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And here's a thought. Don't you see how insulting it is to God to say that you are without gifts? To poor mouth yourself is to discredit God's creation. Krishna doesn't create anyone without the capacity to contribute. I like the idea expressed on tenement inner city graffiti one time, there on an alley fence, written with pride and black letters with the words, God don't make no junk. Of course he doesn't. Don't worry about thinking too highly of yourself. As long as you remember all the good gifts that come from God to celebrate, the good things about you will be an occasion of gratitude and not of pride. Besides, most of us have a long way to catch up with the lofty opinion of us that God himself has. Someone said of the Lord, "You have made man in the image of yourself and have crowned him with honor and glory." That's what God thinks of you. In the Bhagavad Gita, it says, "Mamayavam sa jivaloke jiva bhuta sanatana." All living beings are my separated parts and parcels. He claims us as his own. He claims us as the children of a father who loves us very much. So I don't think our problem is thinking too highly of ourselves. Our problem rather is catching up with Krishna's vision of our greatness. Richard Dahan said, "At certain times in life, we feel insignificant and useless. Surrounded by people with greater talent than ours, we're tempted in our weak moments just to settle back and let somebody else do the work. We reason that what we have to offer won't make much difference anyway, but the reality is totally different. Each of us has something important to offer, irreplaceable to offer in our service." Sir Michael Costa was conducting a rehearsal in which the huge symphony orchestra was joined by a great chorus. Imagine hundreds of instruments, hundreds of voices all raised. About halfway through the session, with trumpets blaring, drums rolling, violins singing their rich melody, the piccolo player muttered to himself, "What good am I doing? I might as well just not be playing. Nobody can hear me anyway." So he kept the instrument to his mouth, but he made no sound. Within moments, the conductor cried, "Stop, stop, where's the piccolo?" Point is, it was missed by the most important person of all, the conductor. It's much the same way in the use of our own abilities for the Lord. Whether our talent is great or small, the performance isn't complete until we do the best that we can do with what we have. God is saying to us, "You've celebrated others. Now it's time to celebrate yourself. It's time for you to think better thoughts about yourself. Time for you to shine. There is a seed on the inside just waiting to flourish. You may not feel as though you can do it, but God would not have given you the dreams in your heart. He would have not have opened the doors and sent the opportunities your way unless he had already equipped and empowered you to do so. Is it not a fact that nobody makes a lock without a key? Similarly, God will not give you problems without solutions." Here's an illustration. I heard about a minister who, before a morning service, handed a man a $100 bill and asked him to place it secretly in his wife's Bible and make sure she didn't see it. They were all friends, so the man went along with it. During the sermon, the minister asked this man's wife to stand up. He said to her, "Do you trust me?" She smiled and, not knowing what was going on, said somewhat hesitantly, "Yeah, I do." And the minister said, "Will you do what I ask?" And she continued with her quizzical look and nodded, "Yes, I will." "Then open your Bible and pull out a $100 bill. "Oh, I'm so sorry," she offered with a shake of her head. "I don't have a $100 bill." Again, the minister said, "Do you trust me?" He pressed a little bit more. Again, she said, "Yes, I do." The minister said again, "Will you do what I ask?" "Yes, I will." "Then open your Bible and hand me a $100 bill. Hesitantly, doubtfully, confusedly, reluctantly, she opened her Bible and voila, she saw the $100 bill. She shook her head. She started laughing out loud and she says, "How did you do that?" And the minister said, "I put it there already." In the same way, God will never ask you to do something to pursue a dream without first putting the ability in you to accomplish it. When he gives you a dream, when you have a desire, you know that you're supposed to take a step of faith. You may feel completely unqualified. You may tell yourself, "I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the know-how. I don't have the ability." Here's the key. Just take the step. If you dare to take that step, you'll discover things in you that you never knew you had. I joined Krishna Consciousness in Australia in 1970. There was a senior devotee who had come and started the mission there. His name was Upendra. He was a great speaker. We would go down to Sydney's version of London's Speaker's Corner in Hyde Park. It was called the Domain. Upendra would have a stepladder, as would all the other speakers. He would set his stepladder up. He would mount to the top of the stepladder and start preaching. And I used to be down on the ground looking up at him, seeing him cool and calm. Many people came just to heckle, just to make fun of the speakers. And I'm thinking, how can he stand up there and be so cool and calm and think on his feet, give tit for tat, rebut all the insults? I was just amazed. After a few weeks, Upendra asked me to drive him to the airport. He was leaving Australia to now go and start a mission in Fiji. So I said, well, we're not going to go to the Domain anymore and do any more speaking. He said, no, I thought that you could take over in my absence. And I'm like, what? I didn't feel qualified. I didn't know if I would know what to say. I didn't know if I could defend myself against some really vicious heckling. But the next Sunday, in his absence, as lacking in confidence as I was, I just did what I'd seen him do. I walked in, I dragged my ladder, and I didn't know how I could do that. But you know what happened? As soon as I took the first step, and the second step, and the third step, I found myself up there at that altitude, I found out that I was made for it. I didn't get everything right. I had a lot of moments of embarrassment. There were times when someone called me out on something and I didn't have the answer. But then I would go and think about it or research and run it through my mind. Then I would get the answer. So the next week, I would nail it. Before he even got the heckle or the insult or the question out of his mouth, I would have the answer already. And you know what I came to discover? Hecklers are your best friends. You can be speaking to the wind, one or two people yawning, barely paying attention to what you say. You pray for a heckler. Hey, what's that pigeon poop on your forehead? And immediately there's like 100 people. What's going on? What's he saying? What's there? And then you get some real preaching in. And you're up there, you say, Krishna, send the hecklers, because the hecklers will bring a big crowd. So I started in such a way as to provoke and to bring the hecklers over. None of that would have happened. In fact, I probably wouldn't even be here before you tonight if I hadn't taken the step up the ladder. Now, what Krishna has placed in your heart is not going to come to pass through your neighbor, your cousin, your coworker, your friend, or your parents. Krishna is saying, I've anointed you. I've equipped you. I've breathed life into you. Now, quit looking for somebody else. Quit thinking that you don't have what it takes. You've been chosen by the creator of the universe. You don't need anyone else to take birth to the promise that God put in your heart. You're the right person. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Dr. Todd Price grew up very poor in a small town. Didn't look as though he had much of a future. From the time he was a little boy, he had a desire to help children in need. One day he saw a program on television describing how you could sponsor a needy child in a third world country for $15 a month. He didn't have any money, but his heart was so moved that he started mowing lawns and doing yard work in the neighborhood to raise the money. When he was just 12 years old, he started sponsoring a little girl who lived halfway around the world. What caused him to do that? Why did he have that compassion? I'll tell you, it was the promise that God had put on the inside. It was a seed of greatness waiting to be developed. Dr. Price wasn't raised in a religious home, but every night before he went to bed, he'd say, God, please send some wealthy person to help these children in need. He was able to go to college, and during the summers, he took trips overseas with a group of doctors to treat needy children. When he looked into their eyes, he would pray more earnestly, God, please send some wealthy person to help these children. He was able to find a way to go to medical school, and he continued traveling overseas. Eventually, he became a doctor, and he started his own medical practice. One of his main suppliers heard that he helped needy children and asked if he could use free medical supplies, vaccinations, and antibiotics. Well, of course he could. So soon, Dr. Price started taking a couple of suitcases full of medicine on every trip. It grew to where he put the medical supplies in boxes and had them shipped. Eventually, it grew so abundantly that he was shipping whole containers overseas. All the while, he kept praying, God, please send some wealthy person to help these children in need. Dr. Price's medical mission, called Medical Outreach, has treated over 50 million children in 20 countries. He's provided nearly $1 billion worth of medicines and supplies. He said, a few years ago, when I was treating the 20 millionth child, I finally realized that God had answered my prayers, but not in the way I'd thought. I always pray for God to send some wealthy person. Now I knew that I am that person. He was saying that all along, the promise had been with him. Prabhupada wrote this in a letter, January 1968. Chant Hare Krishna sincerely and with all good intelligence. Consultation shall come from within. Krishna says that those who are engaged in my service, honoring me and doing good to their fellow men, I give the intelligence for their progressive march. Maybe you're waiting for the right person. Krishna is saying, you're the right person. My anointing, my favor is on your life. You can do something great. Now, don't go and say, oh God, I need to find somebody younger, somebody smarter, somebody more educated, somebody more talented. No, you have what it takes. Don't miss your destiny waiting for somebody else. In Africa, a gazelle or wildebeest, which is pregnant and about to give birth, is stalked closely by a lion. Day after day, that lion will follow the pregnant mother, waiting for her to go into labor. The lion knows that when she goes into labor, then she will be an easy prey. At that time, the lion will not only attack and kill her, but her baby as well. In a positive sense, this is the same in life. You will face your greatest attacks when you're about to give birth to the dreams that God or Krishna has placed in you. The enemy waits till you're close to promotion, close to your breakthrough. He'll strike when you're just about to step to a new level. Don't be surprised if you face opposition or disappointment. Perhaps a friend you were counting on is not there anymore, or it's taking longer than you expected. That just means you're about to give birth to what God placed in your heart. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The good news is that the forces that are for you are greater than the forces against you. Your destiny cannot be stopped by a bad break, by the passage of time, by opposition, by a disappointment, by other people. Why? Because Krishna or God has the final say. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Now is not the time to get discouraged. That is the time to dig your heels in and declare, I'm in it to win it. I know the promise is in me. I'm not going to let this disappointment, this setback, or this person steal my destiny. I'm going to give birth to everything that Krishna has put into my heart in this life. Don't need anyone else to fulfill the dreams of your heart. Quit looking for the other person. You are that other person. You are equipped and anointed. You have what it takes. Now, stir up what's inside. It's time for you to be celebrated. It's time for you to rise to a new level. It's time for you to do something great in this life and in the next life. Go back to home, back to Godhead. Thanks so much for your kind attention. And if you receive this message, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Let's do it slightly differently. I say Hari, you say Krishna. Hari.
Krishna.
Hari.
Krishna.
I say Krishna, you say Krishna. Krishna.
Krishna.
Krishna.
Krishna.
I say Hari, you say Hari. Hari.
Hari.
Hari.
Hari.
I say Hari, you say Rama. Hari.
Rama.
Hari.
Rama.
I say Rama, you say Rama. Rama.
Rama.
Rama.
Rama.
Rama. I say Hari, you say Hari. Hari.
Hari.
Hari.
Hari.
Good job.